If you're just joining us, we're checking in on how nursing homes are working to protect their residents and staff from COVID-19. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Long-term care facilities showed the destruction of this pandemic crisis. In Wisconsin, dozens of nursing homes have reported 124 deaths to the federal government. That's data as of June 7th. And then there's the emotional toll, the families unable to visit their loved ones for 3 months and counting. Is your loved one in a senior living facility? How are they doing? What questions do you have for a nursing home CEO? We're at 800-642-1234. Sandra Norder is president of St. Paul Elder Services in Kakana. She's vice chair of public policy for the Leading Age Wisconsin Board of Directors. Sandra, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
Well, take us inside St. Paul, your facility, and how it has changed during COVID-19.
Well, as you mentioned, the biggest change for sure is the fact that we are not able to have visitors come and go freely as we would under normal circumstances. And that has no doubt been a heartache for our residents and their loved ones. But we have deployed all available resources to providing virtual visitation options, virtual engagement between our residents and their loved ones at this time. And we have been feverishly working to develop our guidelines and our protocols for the moment we get the green light from the Department of Health Services to start allowing for some limited visitation so that we can get at least a couple of family members from each resident's family back in as quickly as possible, just to lay eyes on each other. We certainly know that isolation is a major social determinant of health. There is no doubt we are certainly seeing the effects of not engaging with family members amongst our residents. And we firmly believe that we need to find a balance. At this point, yes, this virus, we still have a lot to learn. But we do have a number of mitigation strategies and feel that we need to find a balance between, protecting the physical health in terms of infection control for our residents and preserving their psychosocial well-being at this point.
So both physical and mental health, there has to be a balance, I think, that is what you're saying.
Yes.
Sandra, give us a sense, how many residents and staff do you have?
So we have two campuses, one in Kakana and one in Green Bay. And in Kakana, we have about 320 residents. In Green Bay, we have about 60 residents. And total between the two campuses, we have about 450 staff members.
How are you doing with testing, and what does that look like?
Yeah, so Exact Sciences is a lab out of Madison, and they have been providing us with test kits to be able to do regular, what's referred to as point prevalence testing or sentinel surveillance testing, which just means that we are testing asymptomatic individuals on a regular basis. So for us at this point, we are testing on a weekly basis, but we are in a rather unique situation because last week we emergently admitted 28 residents from another facility that had a major fire. So we have kind of a newly cohorted group of individuals. So that's specific to our organization. Most other facilities in Wisconsin right now are testing all their residents, all their staff, like every other week. So we basically order up the supplies from Exact Sciences. They send them up to us, and we set up a testing clinic. The very first time that we did it, we had the National Guard come and help us do it just because of the sheer number of people that we had. And, just kind of wanting to see with the National Guard's experience with setting up, big testing clinics like that, how they did it. And so we learned a lot from that experience and have been able to simulate that on our own since that time.
Have you had positive cases?
So we have back in early April, we had our first case, and that was at our facility in Green Bay. And that was at a time when the meatpacking facility in Green Bay was having the major outbreak, and there was quite a bit of community spread happening in Green Bay. So we did have one of our staff members acquire COVID-19 via community spread. She has since recovered, and there was no transmission in our facility from that employee. We also had an employee around the same time of our Kaukauna campus, but who also lived in the Green Bay area and acquired the virus via community spread, and she has since recovered as well. More recently, following our first point prevalence survey testing, we did identify one staff member who tested positive, who was pre-symptomatic at the time that that they tested positive. She has since recovered significantly, is still out with some lingering symptoms. And around the same time, we had one resident test positive. She has since recovered also. And there has been no other transmission. We did testing of all staff last week, and all of those results came back negative. And this week, we received all negative test results back from our residents.
And when you say point prevalence survey testing, what is that?
So basically, it's where you test everybody,
okay.
Even everybody that's asymptomatic. So, of course, if any of our staff or residents would ever show symptoms, we would test them individually. But point prevalence testing or sentinel surveillance testing is where you do your whole house, all staff, all residents as needed.
We're talking with Sandra Norder, Vice Chair of Public Policy for Leading Age Wisconsin Board of Directors. She's also CEO and President of St. Paul Elder Services in Kaukauna and a campus in Green Bay. With your questions about long-term care facilities and how they are working to protect residents during COVID-19, we're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sandra, how have you been able to handle personal protective equipment and being able to handle residents who you need to help feed and bathe?
So personal protective equipment has been a struggle for many facilities, particularly assisted living facilities that aren't necessarily accustomed to ordering all kinds of medical supplies. And, you know, a lot of the medical supply vendors have given priority ordering status to, you know, regular customers. And so assisted living facilities have really struggled, you know, particularly if they're a freestanding facility and don't have a relationship with a nursing home like we do. On our campus, we have a nursing home and assisted living. So we haven't had, you know, quite as much struggle with, you know, being given preference for ordering personal protective equipment. But you know, the thing that most of us continue to struggle with right now is disposable isolation gowns. They are just nowhere to be found. So most of us have had to resort to using a cloth or washable gown, or some of these plastic gowns like what have been sent by the FEMA and the federal government. But yes, personal protective equipment is It's a big undertaking to don and doff personal protective equipment. So training our staff in the proper donning and doffing of that equipment was really critical. So we did quite a bit of training on that, produced a video for showing our staff how to properly you know, put goggles on, put the gown on, and what order you do it, and how you dispose of it. And you know, certainly there's a component that personal protective equipment is, you know, certainly makes our care a little less personal, a little more scary looking to our residents. So we've had to, you know, just really assure them of the reasons why we are, you know, have these shields over our faces and why we have masks on you know, why they can never see our smiling faces. And, you know, for the most part, it has been, you know, just a matter of you know, really good communication with residents, with families, with the staff. And, you know, but you mentioned, you know, what about, you know, during cares and during meal times, you know, at times when, you know, we can't maintain physical distance or we can't, you know, residents have their masks removed and, you know, are now have their mouth exposed. You know, it's just a matter of ensuring that our staff are masked and are wearing goggles or face shields at all times. For our residents, it's a matter of making sure that if they have to to cough or sneeze, that we're encouraging them to put a tissue over their mouths or their faces, or to turn away. It's obviously not possible to physical distance during cares, but we're asking our residents to turn their faces away at times that we have to get very close to them. So just taking every step possible to try to limit the amount of, what it boils down to is the amount of air that we're breathing together.
Are the residents masked when they are in their rooms by themselves?
No. The guidance is that if a staff member is in the room with a resident, they should have their faces covered. Or if they leave their rooms, they should have their faces covered. But if they are alone in their rooms, they do not need to be wearing face coverings.
What has the cost of personal protective equipment, what kind of impact has that had on your bottom line?
We have spent $100,000 so far since the beginning of this pandemic on personal protective equipment and other directly related expenses to COVID-19. So, for us, we're a nonprofit organization. Our yearly bottom line is maybe about $400,000. That's, maybe a 2% profit margin. So $100,000 is a really big deal to us. No doubt there has been incredible expense associated with this pandemic. And that's just in supplies. That's not even counting the increased labor costs that we've seen.
We're talking with the CEO of St. Paul Elder Services. Sandra Norder is our guide. Do you live in a senior care facility? What has the pandemic been like for you? How has your life changed? Do you work in a long-term care facility? How has your work changed amid the pandemic? Still time to talk at 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up in a minute with Sandra Norder right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. On March 12th, 104 days ago, St. Paul Elder Services closed to all visitors and implemented a universal mask policy. We're checking in with its CEO, taking your questions and stories about an elderly loved one in the pandemic. Has a family member who lives in a nursing home contracted COVID-19? Has the nursing home your family lives in handled the pandemic well, in your opinion? What changes do you hope to see in the weeks and months ahead as the pandemic ebbs and flows? Still time to talk about this. 800-642-1234. We have Sandra Norder, who stays with us, and she's president and CEO of St. Paul Elder Services. Sandra, 104 days. I would imagine that the time goes by really quickly, but slowly all the same. What was it like to go from, kind of a normal circumstances to just this universal mask policy and just quite a change in your services?
Yeah, it's been the challenge of our lifetime. There is no doubt about it. Fortunately, in skilled nursing facilities, we have always been required to have, really robust infection control and surveillance programs. And, a lot of our protocols and our tracking, our symptom monitoring, all of those protocols were in place because of things like influenza or norovirus. And so it was a matter of adapting them to this new novel virus and all that we have been learning about it. But the bones of our system was there, as well as our emergency preparedness plan. We have always been required to have a comprehensive emergency preparedness plan. Over recent years, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services really enhanced their requirements for emergency planning as a result of things like the hurricanes in Florida and Texas that we saw over the last few years. And so we were required to do even tabletop planning for, broad emergencies. And in fact, last fall, we did at St. Paul Elder Services a pandemic tabletop exercise. Now, when we planned that, it was more along the lines of an influenza, something that we were familiar with. And so it didn't hit spot on, you know, that preparation, but we certainly had, you know, some sense of, you know, what it would be like to activate our incident command structure, what we would need to consider in terms of, you know, mass staff outages due to illness and how we were going to staff for our, you know, numerous facilities. And, you know, so it was something that we were prepared for in terms of our, you know, overall infrastructure. The thing that we couldn't, have ever prepared for was, you know, turning all visitors away. That was something that we really had never considered as a possibility. Now, we certainly, you know, regularly during flu season, we post signs and tell visitors that, you know, if they're ill, to please refrain from visiting and those types of things. So we have never, you know, physically locked our doors and said, you know, people can't come in unless it's an end-of-life situation.
Well, let's bring in a call. Kathy is joining us from Beaver Dam. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm just calling to inquire in regards to your testing. You had mentioned you had assisted living. I'm not sure if you meant an RCAC or CDRF. But I'm just curious to know how you were able to set up testing for your assisted living and who covered the cost.
So we do, on both of our campuses, have both RCAC and CBRF. And for callers who may not be, or for listeners who may not be familiar with that, an RCAC is more towards like independent living. A CBRF is a little bit more towards like a nursing home level of care. And so it's just two different types of licensure of assisted living in Wisconsin. And yes, assisted living has been a little bit harder to, you know, to get the testing supplies and access to that testing. But for us, the reason that we were able to get testing access is because we had positive cases in at both of our campuses and both of our assisted living facilities. So we were, you know, really prioritized at our Green Bay campus. You know, that positive case happened at a time when, you know, like I said, there was a meatpacking facility that was having a significant outbreak, and so the city and county public health departments had had a unified command structure, and they basically took over the testing of our facility there. And then in Kaukauna, which is in Outagamie County, again, our local public health department has just prioritized our testing ability because we have been deemed in outbreak status. And public health, anytime there is a positive case in a long-term care facility, they consider the outbreak to be in effect for 28 days. That's two 14-day incubation periods. So, you know, at this point, the state is covering the cost of testing. The program that they have set up through Exact Sciences, which is the lab out of Madison, that has been all covered by the state to this point. We don't have anything, you know, in writing in terms of ongoing coverage of testing costs for the long term. But, you know, just in conversation and in direction from the Department of Health Services so far, we understand that the Exact Sciences testing will be covered for us at least every other week for the foreseeable future.
Kathy, thank you for the call. Let's bring in Bora now in Madison. Hi, Bora.
Hi. A long-time listener. I just wanted to make a comment. I don't currently have a relative in a nursing facility, but my father's dementia has progressed during the pandemic to the point where we need to place him in a facility. And the biggest problem that we have is there's really no way at most of the facilities that we've tried to see him or touch him or hug him, and it's really makes the decision much more difficult. So I was wondering, visitors in these nursing facilities, are they pretty much not allowed, or are there some facilities where they are allowed?
So right now, in nursing homes, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services have directed the visitation restriction. And although the Centers for Medicare Services doesn't really have jurisdiction over assisted living facilities because they're not licensed federally, Really, the CDC has adopted that same guideline for assisted living facilities, as has the Department of Health Services in Wisconsin. So the guidance remains that visitation should be restricted to long-term care facilities. And the federal government and the state government has put out plans for reopening long-term care facilities that wouldn't have full reopening to visitation until a phase three. And we are really just kind of getting into phase one right now. However, we have pretty successfully lobbied, both the federal government and the state governments and encouraging them to take a look at how we can balance out, the need to preserve psychosocial health with infection control. And so, so far, 18 states have released guidelines for opening up to some limited visitation, and Wisconsin sounds like we're pretty close to getting some guidance. So, for us, we have plans and protocols set to go for as soon as we get that green light for doing some outdoor visits or some limited indoor visits. And when I say limited, I mean that, it'll be limited in time. Probably 15 minutes or less. We're talking baby steps towards getting, visitors back in at some sort of normal rate. But even as we
see a spike in cases around the country, could that delay that news for you?
Yes, absolutely. So the overarching guidance is that we have to monitor the rate of illness in our community and the amount of community spread that's happening, and that we have to really lag behind the opening of the community. So if we were to see a large spike in cases in our community, we would have to pull back on that reopening plan.
Sandra, thank you for joining us, and take care.
You're very welcome. Yes.
Sandra Norder is Vice Chair of Public Policy for Leading Age Wisconsin's Board of Directors, and she's President and CEO of St. Paul Elder Services in Kaukauna and Green Bay. Just ahead, Planet Money's Patty Hirsch is here to talk about pandemic economics. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.